Good evening to all. It is good to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday evening. And it is good, especially when the weather is so challenging outside. So the radio and the TV broadcasters scared us to death. I thought I was going to find ice of about 25 centimeters in the morning. But nevertheless, we made it, you know. It's funny how sometimes we watch something on the screen and something comes on, and how your mind just goes in circles about something else. When they brought up the page about the breakfast of the ladies, I saw three numbers on the right-hand side, 5, 5, and 18, and a straight horizontal line. And I'm thinking, why didn't they add the three numbers? You know, so strange how the mind works. And we have to concentrate upon things, and especially upon the message coming from the Word of God. This has been a very eventful week. With the accident that took place in Saskatchewan, where close to 18, 19 young people died, and also the bombing of Syria. Many times the thought of where these people have gone crossed my mind. It was like the rapture, in a way. You are riding in a bus, and you come to an intersection, and another big vehicle strikes your side, and boom, sure enough, 19 lives are taken. And very young lives, for that matter. They said between the age of 17 to 20, 22, 23, and the question across my mind was immediately, were they believers in Christ? And where did they go? Where did they go? Were they ready? So we are urged by the Word of God to be ready in season, out of season, be ready. The Old Testament prophet cries out, be ready to meet your Maker. So, very important to know where one is going if suddenly the Lord decides your time's up. I've always wondered on the decision of the Lord and how it works. You go, you stay. He goes. He stays for another 10 years. And often I said, Lord, how do you decide on that basis? So be ye ready, the Bible says, for you do not know the hour upon which you may be called to leave this world and face your Maker. Our reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting with verses 8 to 12, it's a short passage. Before I get to read and speak to you, preach to you from the passage, I would like to make a rapid recapitulation of what we covered from the beginning of this epistle up to this point in a fast and a short way. Peter starts through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, that the believers that come to the Lord came according to the foreknowledge of God and through the sanctification of the Spirit and in obedience of the work that Jesus did on the cross. the shedding of his blood, the sacrifice for every and each human being. The promise that comes along with that faith, or the expression of that belief, is that God has prepared us for an inheritance that is without blemish, that never withers, and never goes rusty, which is kept for us in the heavens. And it says we are kept through the power of God through faith unto the salvation that is ready to be revealed to us at the end time. In the meantime, the text states, if it is requested of you, if it's necessary, you may be asked to go through various testings, trials, and tribulations, which have one purpose in mind. And please bear in mind that God has already predetermined the kind of load that each one is going to carry during the course of our life. And it says here that the testing of our faith may become more precious than gold or silver. So faith without testing cannot be of worth to God. Am I going to stay faithful during the course of the testing and of the lifetime that will include these types of testings that God will allow in my life? So it says, although you have not seen Christ, you love him, and you are now to enjoy the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Then, further down of the same chapter, he gives instructions as to how Christians should live. He says, gird the waist of your mind, be in control, and have this hope to the very end, complete, so that when he appears, you are not going to be found lacking in anything. So do not conform with the previous practices that you were used to be performing as a non-Christian, but as he is holy, be also holy in every conduct. For he says, be holy as I am holy. Always remember that you have not been redeemed by anything corruptible, gold or silver, but you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read that how shall we escape if we neglect such a great offer of salvation? And if any one of us has considered the blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed from the cross as something common, well, you know, who cares? An event that happened 2,000 years ago that does not apply to me. I pray every week, especially on Monday, I say, Lord, bring two people to my path this week so I can witness to. And I make it a purpose to ask that he will bring these two people to my path, and they'll be ready to listen about the plan of salvation. And I came across someone. We went with my wife to look for a replacement TV because ours has conked out, or is conking out. And I'd say that through the help of the Holy Spirit, I brought the discussion around the subject of God, sin, salvation, what God offers through Christ. And I spoke for 5, 8, 10 minutes, and he spoke for about 30 minutes to tell me how he's a good man and how he does whatever he can do. And if God at one point says to him, look, you're not coming into my heaven, well, it's a tough luck. Sad. My boss used to say the same thing. Nick, when I stand before the Lord, before God, I will say, look, I've done what I could have, okay? I say, no, no, you won't say that. You won't even open this mouth. You are going to listen to the verdict. Away from me, all ye who have done iniquity, and without Christ, you cannot have that iniquity or sin be washed out. You cannot. Only he can do it. So, again, the admonition here, proceeding into chapter 2, it says, put away every guile, every hypocrisy, every jealousy, all gossip, and desire as newborns, the logical and pure milk of God's teaching, of God's salvation. For the Lord is good, and he wants my good, and he wants to see me saved, and he wants to open the door to heaven for me. He calls us, Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he calls us a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that God has gained in order, there is a purpose for that salvation, in order that you may declare or announce the good virtues of the one who called you from the utter darkness into the utter light. You who once were not a people, now you are a people of God. So stay away from things that dishonor God. Live a life that is honorable to him and for him, and have such a good conduct among men so that they can see your good works, Jesus said, and glorify the Father who is in heaven. So we come now to the passage that appears to be stated as a conclusion of what was stated here before, and I cover in a very limited way. He starts by saying, lastly, become all of you, I'm reading from the Greek text, which I'm translating for you, become of one mind. What does it mean to become of one mind? We are a congregation of close to 450 people when everybody shows up on a Sunday morning. And among the 450 people, I want to believe that the majority are believers in Christ. And we get the occasion of visitors who come in and out who may not know the Lord. And the Lord uses the message, uses the singing, uses the approach of people during the services, after the services, and during the breaks, to bring the message of salvation to those who are interested. So we are of one mind as far as the doctrines, the basic doctrines of the church and of our faith are considered. I cannot compromise the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the third person of the Holy Trinity, that he came down, that he was crucified, buried, and rose again, that he died for my sins, that he paid the price for me, that he replaced me on the cross. that I am called to live a life that is a life that is acceptable to God. Avoid sinning. The Bible says through John the Apostle, if one sins, we have a great advocate, the Lord Jesus, who is sitting on the right hand of God, making mediation for us. We have a mediator that speaks for us, but the difference between the before and the after is before I was running after the sin. After I come to Christ, sin's trying to chase me through the advocations of the devil. And the Bible says, put away this, put away that, put away. Live now to please God through your living. So in that case and under this aspect, we are of one mind. And then it adds, be sympathizing, not sympathetic. We use the word freely and sometimes abusively. Why is a sympathetic person? The meaning of the word here, as it is stated, is be sympathizing vis-a-vis the other believers who go through trials, who go through tribulations, who go through testings, and they need you to be a support to them. So be sympathetic in the fact that they go through these difficulties and support the one that needs your support. Be also, and you know the word from the city of Philadelphia, be Philadelphia. Love your brethren. Verse 22 of the previous chapter 1, it says, purify therefore your souls through the obedience in the truth and by the Holy Spirit. So when I cleanse my soul by being obedient to the truth of God, by reading His word, and by applying what is taught here through the Holy Spirit and through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit, it says, become Philadelphi, or lovers of your brethren, with a kind of love that is without hypocrisy. Love one another fervently and from a pure heart. No hypocritical love. We all fail in this area of expression. I cannot point the finger at you, and maybe you cannot point the finger at me, but these are admonitions that we are called to listen to, obey, and put into practice. Examine yourselves, the Bible says, to see if you are in the faith. And by examining myself, then I can apply the truths of God's word. Every time I'm asked to prepare a message by the pastor so that I can fill in somehow, every 3 months maybe, and I read such a passage, the first thought and reaction is that, Nick, do not become a stringent teacher. John the Apostle writes in the first epistle, says, brethren, do not many among you become teachers, because we are all guilty of many sins. So the quest of a Christian is to slowly start elevating himself. And as I teach my class on Sunday morning, we read the passage from the letter to the Hebrews that says, Paul, or the writer of the letter of the Hebrews, he's kind of direct. And he says to them, I think it's in chapter 8, It seems to me that by now I should have been able to feed you with solid food, but it seems to me that I have to start again with the basics and start feeding you with milk like babies. So when I look at myself 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and I've been in the faith since the age of 29, now I'm 68, I pose the question to myself, how much have you grown in these areas of loving your brethren in the kind or with the kind of love that can be considered Philadelphic love? I heard that the city of Philadelphia, although it bears the name Philadelphia, well, if you walk outside when it gets a bit of dark, woe unto you. So there isn't much of Philadelphia that is expressed in that city. So God wants us to live a kind of different life than this. So then, the next word is something that it has to do with your guts. You love somebody with your intestines. So you are a Philadelphic person, and now you love them intentionally. A Greek mother can hold her little baby and say, oh, my splachno, my gut. The baby that came out of her is her little gut. And that's the kind of love she expresses to the baby. And it says here, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we should be expressing this kind of love. I cannot impart any such feeling or action to you. Only the Lord can do that. If you and I are open to the Lord's directives. So that's why the admonition is constantly, you know, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. And these are characteristics of the Christian faith and the Christian walk. And then it has the word of a sound mind. Very important to exercise wisdom in our actions and reactions. Am I always wise? No, my wife will tell you no. So it is good to be reminded that certain expressions, words, actions need to be changed. So it says, be lovers of good thinking. Thinking that is in line with God's word. You said I have 35 minutes, right? Yes. So we're getting there. Yes. So then, become of one mind, become sympathizing, be loving your brethren, love them from the guts, and also be thinking in a sane and wise way. Do not return evil for evil or revile for revile. The Bible says in the Gospels that, or I'd rather say it says it here, and it says it in Isaiah, when he was reviled, this is a previous chapter, verse 23, he did not revile back. When he suffered, he did not make threats. What is our reaction when somebody tries to harm us? I'll get you. Wait until I get my turn. I'll fix this guy. But this is not the attitude that the Lord blesses and expresses in his word. So he did not revive back, but he would subject or submit himself to the one that judges righteously. That's God the Father. Lord, I have not done anything to that person. Lord, you know how, and David the king says that, when I did good to them, they returned evil to me. When I tried to be helpful to them, they raised war against me. And God hears this kind of prayer. So the Lord says, do not revile back. That chapter or that part relates to Romans 12. And it starts with verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Reject that which is evil. Attach yourselves to what is good. Become loving and caring with the expression of Philadelphia, the love for the brethren. And you go one step before the other person to make sure you honor them. Study the Word of God without getting lazy and tired. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And further down from verse 19, do not seek to avenge yourselves, beloved. Give place to wrath. That means do not express it when you are provoked. For it is written, saith the Lord, a vengeance is mine, I shall repay. And then the verse that touches my heart every time I read it. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in doing so, you are going to pile up over his head burning coals. What does that mean? Either he's going to get under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, even though he doesn't know, of God, through your actions, and he'll say, I've been so evil to him, and look how he returned the evil that I've done to him with so much good, and then apologize and change his behavior. Or if he insists and continues on that path, God says, I will repay this person. So don't worry. He will receive his reward. So then, he says, instead of returning revile with revile, bless, for you know that you have been called to inherit blessings from God. The kind of behavior that's advocated here is going to bring to you blessing from the Lord. It could be in 2 years, it could be in 5 years. Mark my word, this is the promise that God gives us here. And then it adds, he who wants to love his life and see good days from God, let him cease from speaking evil and let him control his mouth or his lips from speaking guile. Let him be inclined away from evil and let him do good. Let him seek peace even with his enemies and let him follow it. And be certain that the eyes of the Lord are upon the just and the ears are paying attention to their cry. So somebody is taking advantage of you unjustly, and for 1 or 2 or 3 years, he continues. without any remorse and without any change of behavior and mind, God says, I will take care of him. Don't worry. There is a relative verse in the Old Testament, and with that we shall close. Taken from Malachi 3 and verse 16. And it reads as follows. Then those who fear the Lord spoke with one another. And the Lord paid attention and listened. These are those who fear the Lord. And a book of remembrance, it says, was written before him in regards to those who fear the Lord and those who bless his name through their actions. So remember that God cares for his own. God says, leave this kind of life and leave the rest unto me, and I will bless you accordingly. Thank you.
Why don't we pray together? God, as we go out into this world, a world that is often hostile, Lord, help us to have your Holy Spirit guiding our actions and our hearts. Help us never give in when we see the opportunity to act in evil ways. Help us, God, to resist, to remain firm, devoted in faith to you. Help us, Lord, to keep these words close to our heart, knowing that you will be the judge of all. We thank you so much for that firm and abiding promise. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us tonight. Please go downstairs and have some coffee or some tea and some refreshments if you have the time. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.